Hello, welcome back to Instructor's Training, Closed System, which is year three. We've got a very interesting topic that we're going to talk about, and something that really is a build-on or an add-on to a lot of the other training that we've done. And it's to me, this type of training that we're going to be talking about, which is training in the void in other worlds, is really unique because this, what I'm going to discuss here, is what really, I don't want to say sold me, but really gave me the perception of doing this chi training that it was real. I mean, a lot of the other things I accepted as real, you know, being able to move a small object or emitting chi of some sort. And I never really got into this type of training, probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 years after I started training. So those of you that are taking this training, you may wonder why wasn't I taught this earlier. Well, you're learning it a lot faster than I did or other people have learned, but everything is built on and is designed to meet you at your needs when you need it and when we thought would be the appropriate time to bring this in. Now, some of you may already be doing this, but I have a pretty good intuition that many of you have never done this type of training. You may have done some of the skills that we're going to talk about, but not specifically this, because this is very specific training, very specific types of things that you're going to be doing. And I also want to caution you to realize that if you can't do this right now, it's okay. I'm going to kind of give you a step-by-step on how you can work into it if you have never experienced the types of things that I'm going to talk about in this particular video and audio seminar, which I think you're going to get a lot out of. I want you to give me some feedback. Let me know how many of you that watch this video or listen to the audio file have actually done the types of things we're going to talk about here. I need feedback from you so that I can say, okay, this is how you can get better at it. This is what you can do in order to make it make more sense. And obviously, if you want a training partner to work with in situations like this, it's a possibility that we could do that as well. So let's get started. Introduction to void training is equipment needed, some place to lay down or sit comfortably. I prefer lying down. A lot of the training that we're going to talk about here is done at nighttime. It's going to be done also while you're sleeping. And so obviously lying down. If you like lying down in a lazy boy recliner, like I've talked about many times before, you could certainly do that. It's an advanced level technique, without a doubt. It is one of those advanced techniques that when I first did it, it was like, wow, I can't believe that I did it. It really opened my eyes to this whole process. Lessons learned is how to learn outside of your physical body. And that's the strangeness or weirdness that's here. Now, I know many of you that are in the third year have learned and have adjusted, and even probably from day one of the inner circle, you could do outside your body type stuff, OBEs, astral projections. But we're going to take it a different level now. And like I said, any of you that have done this type of training, just let me know. But I have a pretty good idea of who's going through this training, and I've talked with many of you, so I kind of understand where everyone's at. What is void training? It's when you're out of body and can meet up with, train, and relate to others in their spiritual essence. Now, obviously, if you look up void in the dictionary or whatever, you know, it's going to be, a void is really going to talk to you about a lack of light, just kind of like, almost like a purgatory. And my definition is slightly different in the sense that you're going to an area that you're not familiar with. That's what I call the void. And it could be something totally unique. And we're going to discuss that. But that's what we're talking about here is void training, is that you're outside of your body. You're not in your physical body. So you're going to be able to do this when you're at a high state of meditation. You're going to be able to do this while you're sleeping. You're going to be able to do this even while you're awake mentally. And again, these are advanced techniques. Now, the reason we're bringing this up now is because the last couple modules, we talked about the vortex training. So we're creating this energy inside the vortexes. We're you're starting to use those posters in the vortexes. Now, see, all of those posters are filled with energy, and they are going to start, you know, as you look at those posters, whether it's the vortex poster, which has the 7x7 in a smaller scale, or if you're using the poster that we talked about in the chi chamber, you're still getting this splash of energy that's coming at you. And if you've developed the chi chamber, hopefully you have, I wouldn't be surprised if many of you, by the time you're getting to this particular module, have experienced some of the things that we're going to talk about here. Because using the spirals and the vortex training, as well as the chi chamber, is going to start getting you access to this type of skill if you've never had it before. I've had more people have out-of-body experiences once they've used the chi chamber or they've used those posters than usually at any point in their training. So that's why this particular training is coming right behind that. Now, depending upon how long you've been training with those modules and how diligently, is going to determine where you're at right now. So again, my philosophy is you got to put the flight time in. But by the same token, everyone's different. So I want to make sure that I'm meeting everyone at their needs, because there may be some people that haven't experienced things like this. And if you haven't, it's okay. Don't be upset in thinking that just because you didn't experience an out-of-body experience yet and you're in your third year, that, you know, maybe, you know, there's something wrong with you. There's not. There's factors that we're going to talk about that really are going to lead to this. But I promise you this, if you stay in front of that chi chamber long enough, it's going to happen naturally. It's just the way it is. All right, now how do you get into the void? You must have mastered the ability to send your mind or your spirit outside of your physical body. That's a prerequisite. I'm going to give you some tips on how you can do that. But I will tell you, like I said in the last slide, is that the posters and the chi chamber are going to accelerate that process. And again, that's why I need your feedback. If you've been training with those posters for a period of time, and the vortexes, as well as the chi chamber, and you haven't had an OBE, let me know. If you have, let me know as well, because like I said, that stimulates it. When you're looking at those posters, you need to stimulate the mind. Now, when we went through the chi chamber training, I talked about, you know, starting out only doing it a very small period of time. Well, as we get into this, if you haven't already had an OBE, you want to spend a little more time in front of those posters. You want to use a soft eye as you're looking at it, and you want to line up that black dot that's on the poster with your third eye with relaxed energy. That's just the way that you want to do it. And I, like I said, I imagine by this point, I would bet 75% of the people that are going through this have already had an out-of-body experience. Now, it may be uncontrolled. This whole segment is about control, and it is going to take a little longer period of time. So I don't want you to think that if you've had an OBE that all of a sudden you're just going to jump into this type of training, you're going to be a master at it, because more than likely you won't. You're going to be learning how to test your skills. You've been preparing for this, as I mentioned, with the vortex and the spirals and the chi chamber through the vortex training, obviously. Now, the vortex training, how that's preparing you is it's getting all those vortexes running at the same speed. You're increasing the speed of the vortex. So what that does is that allows your body to get into a hyper state of relaxation better, easier, faster, so that then the spirit can be released. And by focusing on the posters, those in turn speed up the vortexes. So it's kind of like a symbiotic relationship, and the vortexes are going to speed up. And the reason they're going to speed up is a result of using the posters. The chi chamber training. Well, the chi chamber training, it takes the vortex or poster training the next step. And that next step is immersing yourself into that energy. But you'll notice when I talked about the chi chamber, you don't necessarily have to have it as big as the one I have. Obviously, that's ideal. Ideal would be having an entire room like a chi chamber. But as I talked about in the chi chamber section, that's not really realistic for most people, let's face it. I mean, if you can do it, that would be cool. Send me photos of that place because I'm sure it's awesome. I've seen places like that. But again, these are training, like training camps. And individuals that go into these training camps, they're releasing themselves from society for a certain percentage of time. Could be years. It's like going to an ashram. The only difference is it's chi training and, you know, it's very intensive. You're getting that here without having to do that. Lying down meditation with focus on leaving the physical body. Now, that's something that you need to focus on. Something you need to focus on all the time as you're going through this training. And what I find is that a lot of times people focus on more of the physical aspects of the training a lot of times, in the sense that they want to be able to emit chi, they want to be able to heal physically, they want to be able to feel the energy and all of these physical representations, which is always very good. And obviously that's how we start everybody, is getting them to feel the chi. Even going back to the first month of the inner circle, even before that with the chi palm test that I put out on the video, and even before that we just had materials that had people do the palm test just by reading about it. We always talked about that physical representation. But when we get into this type of training, we're now switching a little bit. We're going into more of that mind force and that spiritual component, which it's physical, but it is more mental and spiritual as far as that's concerned. And so a lot of it is mental, in terms of if you haven't mastered, and again, when I say mastered, I can't say I've mastered this yet, because I will say that there are some times where I get where I won't be doing this type of training. I'll switch up to the more of the physical. I'll go more of the yang training instead of the yin training. And then in order to get back with this type of training, I need to focus on it. So again, don't think that it's something that you get to and then you're automatically there all the time. As you get better and better, years and years and years, then you're going to get more of that merging where you can do things a lot better. But most people I know, they have to get into a zone to leave the physical body. It's very rare that you find a person that can just do it automatically. There are people that can do it, but by the same token, it's a rarity. All of these elements now come into play, and all of them are going to work together synergistically in order to get you the results that you're looking for. So again, feedback is important at this time. Let me know where you're at. What are you experiencing? Let's talk on the phone, if not by email or whatever, and then I can kind of give you some tips. You might be able to give me some tips on what you're doing that's effective or whatnot. But what I can tell you is with this training, this is truly unique that I can only imagine very few people have done. I've trained with many people over the years, and I've probably met a handful of people that can do this or do this type of training. All right, skill sets. Slipping outside of your body. The surefire way to slip outside of your body is obviously by getting your physical body relaxed enough that you can then control yourself to release your spirit. And that's one of the skill sets you are going to need for this training. Remote viewing and influencing. Here's the deal, is that our spirit slips out of our body. It releases itself from the body probably on a nightly basis. You know, I can't say with any guarantee that it leaves every night, because I don't remember it all the time. But I do know that it leaves enough that I'm pretty sure that it probably leaves every night. You don't recognize it because your body's asleep, your mind is asleep, and your spirit's out doing what the spirit does. Now, what this kind of focusing is going to teach you is how to start recognizing that more. So more and more and more. For instance, when I want to recognize it, like last night, I recognized that I was in a lucid situation, that I was in a spiritual situation. It was a very strange situation. I don't remember all the pieces of it, but I knew that I was there, because I've trained myself over the years to recognize when I am the difference between dreaming, which is, you know, kind of chaotic, and the difference between being in spiritual form where you can actually learn things. And that's what we need to do in this particular training, is starting to take it up a notch and not just releasing the spirit haphazardly, but we're actually going places where we can learn some things. increased psychic awareness and sensitivity. And again, this is going to come as a result of all the training you've been doing physically, mentally, and spiritually. But more importantly than that, it's starting to recognize it, and it's starting to play into it if you haven't already done it. Again, I find also a lot of the people going through the program will, unless they are psychic to begin with, they don't hone in on the psychic concepts because, again, like I said, they're looking more for the physical. They're looking for that physical representation that really means something. And the psychic area is one of those areas where, you know, I always get asked by people, say, oh, if you're psychic, tell me what the lottery number is. If you're so psychic, who's going to win, you know, the game tomorrow? And that's really not what it's about. It's about interpreting things. It's about feeling things. It's about becoming highly attuned to what's going on around you. That doesn't mean that you can't predict those specifics. And I'm sure that if you train yourself to train for specifics like the lottery, like ball games, you can do that. I've heard of people that have done it. I've never trained anybody to do that, and I mean, it might be somebody out there that has done that. But I know in my own personal life, my psychic awareness is a sensitivity where when I meet people, I can read them extremely well. I know what's going on. I can feel their pain. I can feel their joys, their sorrows, so on and so forth. And so that's where you want to be, because you want to be hypersensitive as we go into this void training. It all adds up to the same thing, which is gives you a greater ability to be able to do these types of techniques. Lucid dreaming on demand. Now, I don't want to contradict myself and say that you can't really do anything on demand, but it's kind of a concept in your mind that you will lucid dream on demand. For instance, if you do the proper sequencing before you go to bed, then you can lucid dream on demand. And you're going to find the meditation that I'm going to provide in this particular module is going to allow you to lucid dream. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to work the first time. It doesn't mean it's going to work the second time. Even if you've done lucid dreaming in the past, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be right on every single time. But here's the key. Again, flight time. If you take this lucid dreaming and you take all of these skill sets and you work on them for 21 days straight, I promise you, you're going to be better at this than you were when you started. That's just the way it goes. And then regular access to third eye visions. You know, that's a skill set too. That kind of ties in with everything we're talking about, because the third eye is kind of one of those things that people talk about, don't very really understand it. A lot of times the third eye is more than just that spot in the head. Sometimes it's that entire body just glowing. But again, focusing on that third eye and that pineal gland, whatever you want to call it, is a very specific intent that you're going to start, again, getting visions and relying on those visions and setting up specific tests so that you can know if what you're seeing is real or if what you're seeing is a fabrication. And it's going to take quite a bit of time in order for you to start understanding and relying on what you're viewing through your third eye, what kind of visions are real, what kind of visions are not. And that's probably the biggest factor, is understanding if it's real or not. And that was the way I was, I wanted it to work. I wanted it to be something that I could deal with, but I also wanted it to be predictable, that I knew that when I went into that third eye and I started getting data, that it would be real data. All right, thought projection. You want to be able to get your mind to deliver images and focus points, because in this void training, we are setting up very specific focus points so that we can start training our mind, body, and spirit in order to get to a particular state and to get to a particular place. Like I said, the void and other worlds. You know, you've been through this training long enough that you've probably experienced enough strange things to realize that this plane of existence that we're on right now, that I'm talking to you from, is not the only plane of existence. However, that doesn't mean that you can just cross over these planes easily. You know, everything is set in place so that there's some type of control factor involved, so that you're not just slipping into planes in and out and having these strange occurrences. That's not to say that people don't. It's not to say that some of you listening to this don't. It's not to say that I don't jump in and out of different places from time to time. But again, it's a control factor that we don't do that all the time because it allows us to stay sane. A lot of people that are insane are as a result of them having duplicate focuses and image points that they can't control because they don't understand it. And so therefore, they're deemed insane. My mother was like that. She was always seeing things and saying there were people in the room and all this type of thing. Of course, you know, growing up, I just thought she was, you know, she was sick. But the fact of the matter is, I now believe that she was seeing a lot of things. And it did disturb her. It did cause her problems. And eventually, you know, it was her undoing because she could not relate to what she was seeing, feeling, experiencing. You want to be able to create internal quests, which means you're going to create these little side trips. You're going to create these adventures that you're going to go on. And when you originally hear that, it sounds weird, like, right, I'm going to go on an adventure. But you got to realize your mind and your spirit are so open-ended. Like I've told people, my goal is to get a 10% plus mind, which means I'm over the 10%, because they say we only use 10% of our mind. And so you start creating internal quests of things that you want to do. In the beginning, you got to take baby steps and do things that are very simple. The more simple it is in the beginning, the easier it is to be able to do what you're going to do. You also want to be able to find guides to assist you. Now, people talk about spiritual guides and different things like that, and I don't want to get into what that means because, in all fairness, a lot of times I don't know what it means. But I do know this, is that you can find people to assist you. For example, if I am looking to, let's say, go on some type of quest, and I want to go to some otherworldly place in my spiritual factor, I'm going to kind of build it into my subconscious mind that I want to meet somebody that can answer some questions for me about specific things, whatever that might be. That doesn't necessarily mean that the person is a spirit guide. I mean, they could be. But I'm going to set it up in my own mind that I'm going to meet someone or some group of people that can assist me. And over the years, I've found tons of people. Now, here's a funny thing. As I found people not only in the spiritual realm, but I've also found them here in the physical realm. So I keep my eyes and ears open, and I keep my energy flowing so that if I can find somebody that can assist me, I'm open to that factor. That doesn't mean that everyone that I meet, I'm going to immediately drop what I'm doing and start focusing on their methods. Because some people have methods that are different that don't work. I've mentioned it to many people that I used to work with a woman who was really into this stuff. And she was really good at it. And she taught me some very unique things. But the funny thing is, it was a business relationship that we had. I didn't find out probably until a year after I knew her that she was into spiritual travel. And she did all these strange, quote-unquote, strange things. She didn't know how big of a weirdo I was, and I didn't know how big of a weirdo she was. But again, she did become somewhat of a guide for me because she answered some questions for me that I had at the time that enabled me to get my spiritual travel that much stronger, which is pretty unique. You want to create a reality outside of your physical reality, something that you can rely on. Now, the hard thing about this is we're kind of rapidly moving through this process. And as you go through this, the reason this is instructor's training, because everything I'm teaching you, I want you to grasp it from the concept that if you were bringing somebody else behind you, you would train them up the same way. You don't want to jump ahead. Now, that's not to say that if you have a student that is really talented in this area, for instance, we've had some people, even before the membership was started, that could remote view like champs. And those people I put on a faster pace on something like this than someone that didn't have those skills. So obviously, you got to kind of be able to monitor what's going on. The other thing is, as I've had some people that could remote view and astral project and do these types of skills very well. However, their energy was not synced up with mine, and I would never meet them anywhere in a place outside of my physical body because I wasn't comfortable with them. So, I mean, there's that factor as well. But you are going to be creating a reality outside of your physical reality and starting to embrace that. It doesn't mean you have to become so locked in that you're just locked into that reality, because that presents a whole another level of problems. Let's talk about stages of spiritual training, how you're going to get there, and what to look for, because it's important you know this. Stage one is a recognition, is recognizing that you have been in a place that is real, but not the same as where we are right now. So you wake up from meditation, or you wake up in the morning, and you have a recognition. It doesn't even mean that you remember everything. It just means that you recognize that you were someplace special, and that it was different than a dream. You had more control, and that you're on your way. This is how I started. It was a recognition. I would wake up in the morning and I would have a recognition of something happened that was kind of significant. I may not have, like I said, remembered everything, but I knew it was recognition. And then what I did was, before I would go to bed the next night, is I would play it in my head that I would remember more, and that I may even go back to that place. And that's how it started for me. Stage two is interpretation. So you got your recognition that something happened outside of this physical existence, in a spiritual existence, and you recognize it. Now you start to interpret it. What does it mean? Why was I at that specific place? What was the lesson that was being brought to me? Because I find that when you go to some of these places, it is a lesson of being able to do a certain skill, being able to become, like, for instance, I've gone to a lot of these places, you know, outside of my body, where it's very easy to fly. It's very easy to go underwater and do the body breathing like we talk about. So these are all ways that you're starting to interpret what you're being taught. Now, once you're being taught these things in a spiritual sense, you can then start to relate to it better from the physical standpoint. That doesn't mean you're going to immediately be able to do it, but it allows you to be able to see things and work things a lot easier. And then stage three is communication, where you actually have somebody that you're communicating with, and it's a bi-directional communication. So it's not just somebody teaching you something, but you're talking back and forth and you're actually having a discussion, versus in some dreams or lucid dreams even, is that you get a recognition that you were there. You interpret a little bit, but there was no real communication. You don't remember speaking to anybody and that exact dialogue. Well, now you're in a communication. You know the dialogue loop. You know what's going on, and you understand it. And then stage four is creating and merging with others, which means you set up specific times, specific places, and you meet somebody that you know, that you're training with, and you actually go on a quest together. And I know that sounds strange, but think about it. If we're spirits, if you and I are both spirits, and we're both physical, what would be the difference between me saying to you physically, hey, listen, I'm going to meet you at Disney World. I'm going to meet you there next Tuesday at 10 a.m. And we both agree, and you fly there, I fly there. And at 10 a.m. in Disney World, a specific location, we meet each other and we talk for 5 minutes and then we go, right? I mean, that's a reality. The reality is also true spiritually. Now, the difference is that you have to get on the same wavelength with somebody, and you have to ensure that you feel confident enough that you could meet somebody there. And again, it is a hit and miss. So in the beginning, it's not going to be exact. You're not going to, you know, recognize everything right off the bat, but I'm going to show you ways that you can do it. So it's pretty cool information. The void can be good or bad. And this is a real key point, because I want you to understand that not everything is always going to be, you know, really cool. It's sometimes scary. But the energy determines the trip. And as we've always said, you got to keep your energy cool, yin energy. If it's yang energy, if it's buzzing and vibrating at a high rate that is too hot, it's too yang energy, you're going to be attracting beings or whatever they are that may not be that friendly. They may be a little bit harsh. And they may be something that you don't want to really deal with. So if you keep everything good and a good attitude, good yin energy, you'll be fine. You have to be able to control fear, though, because in some instances, you're going to run into things that you see that you don't understand that are scary. You're not used to seeing them, and so therefore, you don't know how to relate to it. And I can just remember a time being somewhere and, you know, this strange animal walking right beside me. And I didn't understand. I was scared because I didn't know what it was. It was very freaky looking. And I didn't know if it was going to attack me or whatever the case might be. But I later found out that it was something that was just there to kind of protect me. But I didn't know that at the time. And it was scary. And so you have to be able to control your fear and go into it with a fearless attitude. Now, the reason you go in with a fearless attitude is because you have to believe you're in control at all times. You can always pull yourself out of these scenarios. And so you got to believe that. And I always believe that I can pull myself out of that scenario. I'm a Christian, so I believe that, you know, I can rebuke anything out in Jesus' name and get out of the situation. I've been, however, in situations, in these spiritual situations, where I've been fighting for hours with these beings. And again, the reason why I ran into those kind of problems was I was building up the yang energy perfectly, but I wasn't yinning down enough when I would actually go into these scenarios. And, you know, I still believed I was in control, but I still had to fight out in some cases. So you got to be able to learn to control your fear. You got to be able to, you know, the void is kind of a darkness. You got to be able to embrace the void in the sense that, for instance, you know, ask yourself the question, how many of you are afraid of the dark? I mean, literally afraid of the dark, where when the lights go out, you start thinking of what could be there. Even though a minute before when the lights were turned on, you know, it wasn't a problem. Why are we afraid of the dark? The reason we're afraid of the dark is because instinctually we realize that when it's dark, that things come out at night and in the darkness. It's kind of a strange thing because it's one of those knowings that we all know. We wouldn't verbalize it and say, oh, I believe that if I shut off the lights right now, that there's going to be, you know, entities in here. But a lot of times that is true. When you put the lights on, they're not there because you can't see them. You can't feel them as well. You turn the lights off, you can. I mean, it's kind of true. And so you've got to learn to get that ability to be fearless in the dark and fearless knowing that you're in control and that nothing's going to happen and you embrace it. It's a tough thing to do. What I did when I first started training, believe it or not, and I wouldn't say I was hyper afraid of the dark, but you know what? I was kind of weirded out by it, is I started doing darkness training. And I would wake up very early in the morning before the sun was up and walk around my house when it was dark and start doing my meditations and actually just even perceiving what's in the room and feeling that darkness and not letting it really bother me. And to this day, I don't really have that fear anymore. And again, it was never a real fear, but it was something there that, you know, you've turned out the lights and you felt, you know, your skin start to crawl a little bit. It's just one of those things. Okay, this also works really good with a partner. So if you can find another chi practitioner to train with or somebody that you're working with, that's ideal. Because just like when you're doing remote viewing, just like we're doing healing, just like we're doing anything like this, if you have a partner to kind of bounce things off of and say, okay, this is what we want to be able to do, then you can kind of set a protocol and you can check with each other. Obviously, it has to be someone you trust. I would never go into the void and do this type of spiritual training with somebody I did not trust. That's just the way it is. And I've trusted my instructors and people that I've worked with. I've had other people that I knew. They may have had the skill, but I didn't really trust them 100%, so I wouldn't do it with them. You also want someone whose energy is clean or someone whose energy is more like yours. If it's somebody that's energy is totally different, and what I mean by different is, for example, I probably would not go on one of these type of spiritual trips with somebody that that just wasn't lined up the way I think mentally. Chances are I might not go even with a woman sometimes, because there's a lot of energy that goes through when you do that, and it could turn into a sexual encounter in that case. So you got to be careful with who you're working with as well. But the nice thing about working with a partner is that you can create a feedback loop with your partner. You can start to put these little quests together, and then you can start to understand, okay, this is what we're going to do. And in the beginning, it's very simple stuff. We're going to meet at a specific place, and I'm going to be wearing this, you're going to be wearing that. And see, you can recognize things. You can interpret things in a very real way if you set it up. And I'll go more into that in a little bit. How to do it. That's probably the biggest thing, is people say, hey, this is great information, but how am I going to actually do this type of training? Well, number one thing is you have to evaluate where you are right now. And what I mean by that is you need to take a look and say, okay, where am I at as far as this spiritual type of training? Have I ever had an out-of-body experience? Have I ever successfully remote viewed something? How well do I work when I'm using my third eye? Lucid dreaming. Do I have access to lucid dreaming? Can I do it? When was the last time I did it? And how often do I focus on it? And be honest with yourself, because that really is going to be really where we go from here. Because you want to evaluate where you are. And I always use a simple system, 1 to 10. 10 being the best, 1 being not so good. So evaluate yourself honestly where you're at. Maybe some of you are a 3, some are a 7. Might be some of you that are even 10s. Probably a lot of you are probably a 5 or 6. Okay, evaluate where you're at. And then, okay, this is what we need to do next. You want to set aside a week or two for experimentation. You already know how to do a lot of the exercises that we've talked about, out-of-body experiences, how to send the energy out. You've seen us do that training. The question is, how much of that training have you been doing? What I find is we jam-pack so many techniques here, a lot of times people won't specialize unless they specialize in that area. And so you want to set a week or two aside. I always say 21 days, three weeks, and do some of the specific exercises that I'm going to talk about, and then just do it and see where you're at the end of the 2 or 3 weeks and reevaluate yourself. Very important you do that. Keep a journal. Always keep a journal when it comes to this type of training. You should probably be keeping a journal for all of your training, physical, mental, spiritual. I did that for years. And every time something strange would happen, I would write it down. And I still have those notes today. And I refer back to that even as I'm doing this training to be able to help you to understand easier what you're going through. And that's a key. You want to set specific quests that you'll recognize when they happen. Not every time that you do it is it going to be like I was saying, where you actually get on a plane and you take a trip. It's not always that cut and dry. It's not always something that's that easy to recognize. But when you set specific quests and you say to yourself, okay, tonight when I'm sleeping, I will recognize the fact that I'm going to go somewhere unique. Now, when I say somewhere unique, it could be, let's say, your grandmother's house when you were a kid, and maybe you haven't been there in 20 years, 30 years, or whatever, and you set that as a specific destination point. Now, the reason you set that as a destination point is because if you were a kid and you visited your grandmother and grandfather a lot, you know that house, and you know what it's like, you know what it feels like, you know the energy, because you know you were there many, many years ago. You also know that it's not something that's a recent thing. And so when you wake up and you have a recognition that you were there, you know that you accomplished that particular mission, no matter how big or small that is. All right, so let's talk a little bit about some of the advanced training and techniques to go along with it. Is meeting a specific person at a specific location? It could be the Empire State Building, the Grand Canyon, Paris, etc. How would you do that? You would set it up where you would know where that was. So for instance, if somebody said, I want to meet you at the Empire State Building, that's not specific enough. It really isn't. because you don't know exactly where. So I would say on the top, you know, the top walk around area, you should be able to locate somebody there. A Grand Canyon, perceive somebody's energy and find them there. You can do it that way. Or Disney World. And again, this is having a training partner and setting up the parameters, and setting up the times, just like as if you would do it in real time. And then do it. And either do it in a meditative state, do it while you're sleeping. You can train yourself to do so many things while you're sleeping. I train all the time when I'm sleeping. It's one of the best ways to train. And so this is a specific way to do it. And then, of course, you know, checking the notes with the person. There's also completing specific tangible objectives. So not only are you going to meet somewhere, but you're going to go somewhere, you're going to do something, you're going to go buy a newspaper, you're going to do a specific task. You're not only going to meet at the Grand Canyon, but you're going to walk down to where the water is. You're going to fly down to where the water is, because anything's possible when you're in that state. And then, I mean, it's advanced because, again, you're recognizing as you go back through that list again, and putting all of these things in place, you're recognizing what it's going to take to do that. You want to document all, even if strange or not good. Like I said, keeping a journal and understanding that not everything's going to be really great. I mean, I've had some things I don't even want to bring up again because it was just too weird, too strange. I don't even want to remember it, and yet it happened. So, again, documentation is always a good thing. And then sharing notes with that person to merge the accuracy of the data. Not all the data is going to be that accurate because you're going to miss things. But guess what? You're going to miss things anyway. Just think about it. If you went to, let's say you went to a ball game or a party with your friends, you wouldn't remember that entire party. You would remember little snippets of it. You'd remember the energy about it. You would remember you had a good time, but you may not remember everything that happened. Same things here. But again, when you get back into consciousness, you want to come back and you want to write down notes and see if that makes sense. Let me give some ideas of some quests that you could go on. Martial arts training. I've done a ton of this over the years where I've met people, I've met instructors, and we've learned different types of martial arts techniques. I've taught people different types of martial arts techniques where I can send it to them and say, this is what I'm teaching you how to do. Could be anything. Learning a new skill or language. Again, it's programming, pre-programming your mind to learn a new skill or language. Now, going into this, I'm going to give you kind of a very quick demonstration of how you could set yourself up with this void training mentally. I'm going to give you a script that you can use as well as a meditation that you can utilize at night if you wish. And the other thing is go back to the beginning of the inner circle where we talked about, you know, creating your own subliminal studio where you could create these files. You see, you want to start programming your mind for what it is that you want to be able to do here. And in the beginning stages, you know, when you're not really adept at doing this, you need to get the conditioning into your mind and understand how it's going to work. You could visit somewhere new, other worlds. And you can set that up specifically and say, I don't know where I want to go, but I want to go someplace that's like totally different, I've never been to before, meet different individuals, different beings, different things. And I know this sounds really strange. I don't expect you to believe it 100%, but I do expect you to believe it enough that you try it and verify it for yourself that these things work. Once you do that, then you're going to feel a lot more comfortable about it than if you didn't do that. You could do general hanging out, like in a new city. You know, you just go there and you're walking around. I've done that so many times with people that I've known, where we're just be walking around talking. Doesn't mean I remember the entire scenario, but I remember it. I remember us walking down a specific street. I remember seeing a specific cafe. I remember seeing a specific person that's there. And again, you're creating this environment in your mind, in the sense that you can almost place people there in certain times. It's almost like that movie Inception in a way. I did a video on that a while back, but it is very similar to that. But the difference is that some of these scenarios that you set up are ones that you worked up yourself and you almost cast the entire scenario. Whereas there's other times where you're just there observing and finding out what's going on there. You can also use the quest for an answer to a challenge. I do this a lot as well. And as I go to sleep, I'll say, you know, I have a question to a challenge. I need an answer to this situation. What should I do? And I kind of hone in on it and say, I want to meet somebody that's going to show me. Now, I may say that and I may meet somebody physically, not just spiritually. But oftentimes I'll wake up in the morning or wake up from my meditation and I'll have a glimmer, a glimpse, an idea of an answer to a challenge. That's one way to do it. And then the other times I may just have an answer that pops into my head because I've, again, pre-programmed it in there. You can also do healing yourself and others. For example, if you have a friend of yours, you can actually go to them in this area. And they don't have to know anything about this, but you can go meet up with their spiritual being and start working on them energetically. Because again, remember, there's no limitations when you're in that void, when you're in that spiritual realm. You can pretty much do whatever you want to do. You want to ask yourself questions. How, when, where, and why? And those questions are probably questions to some of the challenges that you might have. You know, how am I going to blank? When am I going to, and then another blank. Where, blank. Where do I go to find the next instructor that's going to teach me the next level? Why am I having a stumbling block with XYZ? Again, these are questions you ask yourself, knowing that you're going to get an answer and that it's going to be an answer that you recognize as the one you're looking for. Again, you're becoming more and more intuitive. You're becoming more and more in tune with what's going on out there, whether it's in a spiritual standpoint, a mental, or even a physical for that matter. In conclusion, it may take some time to get good at this. In fact, it probably will. But when you combine this with, like I said, some of the other training we've done, specifically the Chi Chamber training, you're going to notice that these occurrences happen more and more often, and you're going to become more and more of a controller with it. Focus, relaxation, and belief are the key. Getting yourself focused and saying, okay, this is what I want to accomplish. Getting yourself to relax down. And then believing that what you see is what you see. That's the key. Those three things are really keys. And when anytime I've mentored with somebody and I've talked to them, usually it comes down to belief and relaxation. They can't get their body relaxed enough. That was my issue. I couldn't get my body relaxed enough in the beginning. So I had to work on it diligently every single day, getting it relaxation down. And eventually, it worked for me. Having a training partner is a plus. It's certainly not something that is needed. I mean, I a lot of times do these things without a training partner. However, I've done it a lot with training partners. If you don't have the right, I would rather have zero partners than somebody that's the wrong training partner. And I think you need to come to that conclusion and understand what that means. And you will know what that means. Of course, if you have any questions, you can contact me as well. You want to become aware of what your body, mind, and spirit tell you. So again, it's like you keep an open mind. You know, you've heard the expression, keep an open mind. Well, in this training, you really have to do that. You have to become just aware of what your mind is telling you, what your body is telling you, what your spirit is telling you, and interpret that, recognizing it, writing it down. Not everything that you get is going to be accurate information. Not everything you get is going to be something that you can then say, oh yeah, that was a spiritual experience. That was me in the void. But when you take a lot of these things and you put them together, you realize how real this type of training is. And that really is what it's all about. You just want to use this quest for an answer to a challenge. And again, this is the way I started out, is I needed an answer. If I need something, this is how I do it. I put it into my mind and my spirit to work for me so that I don't have to worry about things running haphazard in my life. And here's the thing, is when I don't do it, things do kind of run haphazard in my life because now I'm not in that control position. So what we're going to do is, I mean, I've gone over a lot of material here, that you're going to need to probably re-listen to it again. I mean, watching the video is great, but the audio file is designed here so you can listen to it at any point. And go over this material again. And if you have any questions, let me know. You're going to also notice that there will be a specific meditation that you can use that will actually kind of get you prepared for this type of training. Thanks for watching and or listening, and have a fantastic day.